He never picks up the towel. Toothpaste is left on the sink, doesn't take out the garbage, and I have no petrol in the car.
Salams, I'm Dahlia.
And I'm Jana.
We're just two regular mums with five kids between us.
We're not experts at this mum thing, and we're not here to preach or mum shame you.
We're here to learn with you guys, share tips.
And most importantly, have fun while figuring out motherhood one day at a time.
Welcome to Mums on the Run.
Before we start our episode, we'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsor.
Islamic Relief Australia provides aid in over 30 countries and is the perfect avenue for Muslims to spend their money for the sake of Allah. Make sure you check their website at islamic-relief.com.au.
Welcome to another episode of Mums on the Run. Today we're discussing the topic of marriage, sisterhood and other shenanigans. With us today is Sister Dahlia Ayoub to discuss the topic further. Assalamu alaikum, Dahlia.
Wa alaikum assalam. Assalamu
alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Rahmatullah.
Dahlia is the founder and CEO of Life Matters Academy. She's completed her master's in Islamic studies, certified life coach, and did further training in NLP. She couples her Islamic knowledge with life coaching skills and truly offers an effective and pioneering service to the community. You're a gem to the community, mashallah. She's done mashallah. Parenting seminars, which I've attended, marriage, narcissism. So we're so happy you're here to join us.
Jazakumullah khair. It's my absolute honor to be here and to be speaking to two gems myself. So may Allah reward you for the opportunity.
Dahlia, I wanted to get into it. So we've been watching Bollywood and Hollywood and romantic comedies, and kind of the narrative goes where you have this female and she's missing something in her life and she finally finds the one and her whole life becomes perfect, subhanAllah. And you find that, do you find that there's a very high expectation when we come into marriage, or a very unrealistic expectation when we enter marriage?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وحلل عقدة من لساني. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the best of speech and to purify our intentions inshallah, and make this podcast inshallah of benefit to all the sisters listening. So yeah, I'm going to back to your question, Dahlia. The main issue, definitely 100% that is the case, because but let's step away from that premise for a second and just go back to the source of this problem. The source of this issue is usually because we have set a standard that is not a standard set for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think a lot of the times in my marriage workshops, in my parenting, in almost everything I do, I actually talk about tawheed, and people think, what does tawheed have to do with expectations in the marriage? But it does put everything into perspective. And I think that's so important to not just say La ilaha illallah, but to truly understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah. I am a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have a purpose on this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me to worship Him. That's my purpose. And to act as a khalifa on earth, whether a man or a woman. And I think that is the foundation. And when I think, my life is not complete until I get married, or until I have children, or until X, Y, and Z happens, that's basically going astray from that, goal, because we were created, we came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this passage in this dunya, and everything else is a means to Allah. It's not a goal. But when you make the means, when I make my husband, when I make my children, when I make my career, my education, whatever hobby I have, or whatever something I'm attached to, even my emotions, when I make them the means, they become everything in my life. They start becoming painful. Because anything we put in the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make it like an ilah. And Allah tells us in the Quran, do not make anything an ilah except me, subhanAllah. So I think that's a very, very important point, just to go back to the source.
Absolutely.
And that will just take wherever you are at to a next, a whole new level, inshallah. Yep.
Marriage is a means, not the goal. Absolutely. To get you to Allah.
Absolutely. And some people do, as girls, and, we've been raised, in societies, most of us, where, we define our value and who we are with our marital status. So that's something that young girls grow. And subhanAllah, that's not the purpose of our creation. Inshallah, we're not saying, by all means, of course, marriage is a sunnah mu'akkada, and we strive for that, inshallah, too, because we've got needs and we have to continue the ummah and for many, many reasons. But it's not... Some women never get married. Yeah. Some women never have children, and that doesn't
then
define
what's their identity.
Absolutely.
What's who, yeah.
You know, I actually was having a discussion with someone about how the key to Jannah for a woman is through her husband.
Yeah.
And if we truly as women understood our deen, and these such arguments are easily negated, subhanAllah. The four perfect women who perfected their faith, we all know Khadija radiallahu anha, Maryam radiallahu anha, and Asiya and Fatima.
Yes.
Maryam wasn't even married.
Yeah,
subhanAllah.
Asiya actually, you know, perfected her faith because she resisted her husband.
Her husband was a Taghiya, so that's not a key.
You know, Khadija and Fatima. Khadija radhiyallahu anha was married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Fatima, her daughter, was married. So, two of the four women who perfected their faith. We're talking about perfect faith.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with a relationship with a man.
Yeah.
And I think that's crucial to emphasize.
With my former clients, I would say, how do you spark the marriage? And I would say, go on a date night. And it would just, it would seem so simple, but it was effective. What advice would you give to sisters? Say, I just want to bring, you know, a little bit more light.
Back.
I want to bring the spark back. We've been married 15 years or...
Again, so many ways you can do that. But again, going back to the, you know, if there's one advice I tell sisters all the time, whether it's in marriage, whether to take your, you know, parenting to the next level, anything, subhanAllah, is to really take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And because when you're happy, you bring that. You know what I mean? You bring that to any relationship with your friends, with your spouse, with your children, subhanAllah. So you can go on a date as a miserable person, but that's not even going to be correct, subhanAllah. Is that going to make us feel better?
No.
You know, I always advise sisters to, I deal with a lot of marriage issues and marital challenges, and there's the expectations of what the spouse should do or what she should be doing, and he should make me happy, and he should do this, and he should do that.
Buy me flowers.
Absolutely, subhanAllah.
What a minder.
I always say, subhanAllah, make yourself happy. And, you know, your happiness is your responsibility. No one else's responsibility. And his happiness is actually his responsibility as well. So, you know, you come from a happy space, he comes from a happy space, and you share that. You share the happiness rather than expect it. I'm not saying that, of course, there are rights and responsibilities, there's a standard that we need to treat with each other with respect and mawadda and rahmah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it starts from within.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're in that space where you're just comfortable with who you are, you're connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your own jug is basically filled, you're able to do that, you're not going to, you know what I mean, like it's going to be yourself, you're okay. So whether you watch a documentary together, or whether you have a cup of coffee together, or you go on a date, or it just, it's a bonus, it's not the source, it's not my need, it's not an essential.
Yes,
if that makes sense.
You actually, I don't want to misquote you wrong, but like you were saying, you know, if you're miserable in your home, or you're going to be miserable in Bali, in a holiday.
Absolutely.
So it's not the actual context and the surrounding. And I was just speaking to Jana about this not long ago about, I think it's, what's her name? Esper Perel. She's a relationship therapist. And she says how in this day and age, we expect so much from that one person, you know, the one. So we expect them to be our therapist, our babysitter, our financial, you know, planner,
everything.
Our holiday. So, and when they don't deliver, we get so disappointed. The fact that we had a village to like your friend, you know, Jana's my politics girl. If I speak about politics to my husband, he'll just go blank.
Yeah. Like, and that's a very good point, Dali, that you're bringing, subhanAllah, because we do walk into a marriage expecting that, you know, he's meant to provide all these things.
Yeah.
And it's so unfair to expect one person to do that.
Yeah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in groups and communities. So I had a sister once who told me exactly what you're saying. She basically, she's highly educated and her husband isn't, but he's a loving man, he's caring, you know, he supports her. But that one thing really bothered her, and that was her main, honestly, issue. And, you know, she was like, I was trying to get him to read books and be, you know,
to have
conversations so that we can have deeper you know, intellectual chats and whatnot. And I said, is that fair for him, honestly? Like, okay, it's nice to do that, to encourage, you know, education and whatnot, but at the end of the day, she's like, but I need that. And I said, that need, where in your life are you receiving, or can you be receiving that need from someone else?
Absolutely.
And she said, my one of my friends, we just love to have, you know, chats, we catch up once a week and we talk all about these things. I'm like, here you go, alhamdulillah. So that's you're receiving that need from somewhere else.
Yes,
so it doesn't have to be just, you know, that one person. So it's very, very crucial to recognize that and be able to embrace that.
It takes time, but like that's
absolutely.
Like something, I've been married now 10 years, I think, so it took me a while to actually realize
understand that
that you don't need to get everything from your husband. It's absolutely, you need to find other avenues.
And at the end of the day,
it takes time and takes work to actually build the the community around you to actually have different avenues.
That's such an important point, Jana, because there's this misconception that when you first get married, it's your honeymoon period.
It was the worst period.
What's the worst period?
The most difficult was the first 2 years for me and in my own marriage, subhanAllah. Yeah. And again, it's just, you know, because we give marriage advice when we shouldn't sometimes. Because it's actually only natural that in the first 2 to 3 years of marriage that you're getting used to this person, you've got different values and you're coming together now. There are changes. So subhanAllah, you're getting to know each other. So that's actually a normal stage to be going through some challenges and difficulties, subhanAllah. So and Allah, ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just going back to what the point you were saying, Jana, about expecting things on the outside and externally to change for me to feel good. That's actually giving my power away to someone else or something else.
Subhanallah.
And that's not even an Islamic approach. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. Not what's outside of themselves.
Subhanallah.
Because you find people in similar situations who are not experiencing the same feelings. So what does that tell you? It's not about the event. Yeah. It's how, what meaning you give to that event, or how you reframe it, or what it make, you know, what you make it to be for yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's so powerful.
So since we're talking about adding the spark,
yes,
I'm going to ask, usually like when people have been married for a long time,
yes,
the more the problems become like the little details of every day that just pile up and they make a big issue after a while. So it's like he didn't pick up the garbage, he didn't whatever, he didn't do this, he doesn't get me flowers. Yeah. These little conflicts, how can you actually avoid them piling up into us?
From my limited experience and knowledge, I actually feel the longer the relationship is, the less these issues should be an issue in a healthy relationship. Yeah. Okay, because that may be at the beginning because you're trying to set the grounds and you make your stand, basically. So you want to do everything right and you've got these expectations and you're like, I don't want to be like my mom or, you know, honestly, because a lot of girls do come back. They do come from homes and men where they did not see an ideal relationship between a husband and wife. They were like really wrong gender roles that are not even Islamic. They were injustices maybe. But it's a different generation. It's again, lack of knowing our deen. So I do believe, subhanAllah, that once you're aware, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Like, and women need to really understand their deen. Because once you understand your deen, it expands you as a person.
Yep.
And you start actually looking at these things as irrelevant. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not saying it's not important to have your husband help you out in the house, but you will have strategies of communication. You will be able to get him to do it in a smart way. Yeah. You know, there's wisdom to it. There's a lot to it, subhanAllah, rather than the direct, you do this, you haven't done that. Because what happens when you start doing that, men by nature go into defense.
Are you challenging me? Okay, come on here.
I'm going to challenge.
It's like the alpha male directly just tugs in.
Subhanallah. So, but at the same time, I do believe a good man is actually very, if you're able to embrace him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, women are smart, like they were socially. We can get, you know, outcomes and results better than even men in terms of dealing with relationships.
Better than shaitan.
Emotionally witty.
So we're really witty.
SubhanAllah. So tap into that. But again, tap into that from a place of taqwa, from a place of ilm, from a place of deen, from a place of strength. And that will just change the game for you.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah. We would say the advice that when you explain something to them, for example, he's not spending enough time with you. Instead of saying, you're so selfish, you're always out with your friends, you're not spending, say, you know, we love your company. We just, we want to see more of you. So
absolutely. Like, and sometimes, subhanAllah, one of the things I do a lot of premarital coaching, and I think it's a must for every
essential,
couple.
Essential.
Must, subhanAllah, just to get that knowledge and that to get to know each other before you get into marriage, because that can save a lot of issues and a lot of drama and a lot of problems. It literally saves you years, because I learned this stuff, you know, I believe late in my relationship, and I wish I knew the basics of, you know, conflict resolution, the basics of communication, you know, love languages, how everybody has a different love language, values, you know, a lot of the problems that happen between a husband and wife, it's conflict in values. And people don't realize that. I had once a sister, newlywed, subhanAllah, and I share this example often. She came to me and she said, they've only been married for like 3-6 months, and she said, he doesn't love me, he doesn't spend time with me, he works basically basically 5 days a week. Okay. And on the weekend, he goes fishing with the boys.
The boys. Wow, that's like a big problem.
And she's like, okay, 7 days a week, you're not here. So that means, therefore, her story, because everybody makes a story based on their values and beliefs. So her story was, he doesn't spend time with me, therefore, he doesn't love me.
Yes. Wow.
And then on the other hand, her husband was saying, you're a jealous person, you're jealous for my friends, you want to control me, you want to, you know, so that was his story. And there was conflict and she's like, I'm actually considering divorce and I can't continue like this, and. So it was honestly as simple as getting them to do the values exercise, which takes literally 5 minutes. And people laugh at this, but it's so powerful. The simple stuff is the powerful stuff. So we went through the exercise and we found out what her values were. And guess what her number of value was? Love and connection.
SubhanAllah.
Because she came from a family where on the weekends they would just gather up and have a barbecue together. Yeah. So for them, expressing love is getting close, like being together. Yep. That's her language of love. Mm. You know, if you love me, you connect with me, you spend time with me.
Yep.
So love and language, I can't remember what her other two were, but we did come up with the three. And then I asked her to do the same exercise with her husband and find out what his top values were.
Yeah.
And guess what his top value was?
Significance.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Wow.
So can you see? And a value is something that we all have different values.
Yeah.
You know, Jana has different values from Dahlia, from me, SubhanAllah. And there are no wrong or right values.
Yeah.
So a value is basically something you need to feel consistently to feel good and content every single day. It's not something like a one-off.
So how do you get a freedom?
So basically, as much as he needed freedom, as much as she needed love and connection.
Okay.
So for them, so basically, how do you resolve that? It was honestly as simple as them negotiating a win-win because, you know, you don't want to win-lose. When people say compromise, I don't even like the word compromise in a relationship because when you compromise long-term.
That means you take away from what you.
Yes, a compromise is win-lose. We don't want to win-lose. That's not an Islamic approach because you can compromise for so long, but then after some years, you start resenting that person. You start being angry. So it's not healthy. We want marriages that are based on mawadda and rahma, which is what the Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us.
Yep.
So it has to be love and mercy. If there's no love and mercy in a relationship, what do you have? So that's really, really important, subhanAllah. So with this couple, subhanAllah, it was just a matter of her seeing that as much as she needed, you know, that love and time with him, as much as he needed the freedom. It wasn't less or more. So they just basically negotiated on Saturday, I'll spend it with the boys, on Sunday with the family. It was as simple as that. So but when he was spending time away, she didn't resent him. She wasn't angry. She knew he needs that.
It's the resenting, I find. Like once you get over that with the spouse, it just when becomes like, I'm doing it out of love, then resentment, it makes a big, big
Massive difference. SubhanAllah.
I wanted to ask, as busy mums, how does, you know, often I hear mothers are burnt out or mothers are so exhausted. How is that going to impact someone's marriage?
I call it, subhanAllah, the super mom syndrome. We have an issue where, again, society's expectations, you have to exercise, you have to feed your kids organic food, you have to make sure your house is clean.
Sports.
You have to sport everything, you know, homework, pick up, drop off. You know,
the extracurriculars.
So many expectations on a woman, now in the modern woman, subhanAllah, that it really burns you out. And again, not even, subhanAllah, a lot of sisters who are not even doing those things feel anxious and sad and depressed because they're not.
Because they're not,
So the ones who are doing it are struggling, the ones who are not doing it feel like, oh, I'm not good enough.
I'm not a good enough mother.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of, and that burnout is a real thing. It's not, it's scientifically proven. It's backed by, you know, so it's not just a thing that we say, and it gets you diseases, illnesses, subhanAllah.
Anxiety,
you know, pain, suffering and struggle.
Yeah.
So for us to be able to recognize again our roles from an Islamic perspective and see what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from me? Unfortunately, sometimes we're not, again, living our life according to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live. There is a formula for, and I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it will make it so much easier. This dunya is a test. We're not meant to, it's not Jannah. So we were talking about this before the podcast, you know, it's okay to be tired. Like reflecting on the story of Khadija radiallahu anha, there wasn't even a day, I think, that Khadija was actually rested or everything was fine physically. But internally, her heart, her state of iman, that was never shaken, subhanAllah. And that gave her the strength to continue and to be the best of women that we know, to be the best of example that we have. So much so that even just before she died, she had glad tidings from Jibreel alayhi salam, directly from Allah, to send her the salam. And here, what was the glad tidings? That you're going to be in a mansion in Jannah where there's no sakhab or nasab, there's no more fatigue, there's no more chaos, there's no more noise. Which reflects that that was her life. That was her life. This is the best of women, married to the best of men, the most beloved to our Prophet ﷺ. The most beloved to our Prophet ﷺ had this sort of life. So I think putting things into perspective is very, very important. So if I'm waking up, I'm missing my fajr, I'm not praying my salah on time, I'm not doing my daily adhkar, morning and evening adhkar. If I don't have a portion of the Quran in my day, if I'm not doing these basic things to get me, you know, like
that spiritual energy, that spiritual,
you know, above water. This is just basically about being above water. This is not even extra. We're not talking about tahajjud at night and the last third. We're not talking about fasting, you know, every
Monday
day.
To the end of the day.
We're just talking about the basics of what gives you strength and tawfiq and barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we're not we're not doing these and we're expecting to feel okay, I think that's a, you know, it's a gap that we need to miss. We need to feel,
and we do, we feel a lot of pressure. Like, oh, so your child's not doing swimming this summer. Oh, your, you know, your house is not redecorated or seasoned. Or
Once you're okay, once you know who you are, it really becomes
insignificant.
Yeah, insignificant what people think. But if it is important to you what other people think, it means you're still not certain about what you're doing as a person.
Even the expectations, like our birthday parties now, when, and the kids, what they wear for Eid look like, they come out of a magazine, and the birthdays are like $3,000-$4,000 birthdays. And you're like, what place is that coming from? To make my child happy? Or like Jana talks about the social media influences, you know?
Absolutely.
Or is it, you know, to use external things to make me whole?
Everything out there is there to show you that your life is not good enough. Everything.
Yes.
You know, you just scroll down Instagram and you see people's bodies are different from your body. Everything is, you know, people's homes, the way they eat, subhanAllah. And again, that's just a... It's an illusion. It's not even real. Yep. It's 1% of their reality.
I've experienced that firsthand.
So we have to be, again, very careful about what we're allowing our minds to be fed, not just our stomachs. You know, halal and tayyib, and eating, you know, food that is halal and tayyib. And that also includes feeding your mind.
Yep.
Well, if you're consuming material that it's all about, you're seeing, for example, awra on Instagram.
It becomes normal.
Or you're seeing, that becomes the standard. That becomes what you strive for.
Yeah, yes. You know, like that, I realized that because I removed TV from my house.
Good on you.
And the other day we went to a shop, we were buying something. My son saw an ad, like it was morning. An ad on TV where like women like were not dressed, and I could see his facial reactions. Although before we used to have the TV on 24/7, so he used to see it. But because it's been a while,
you've created a new norm for him.
A new norm, and becomes, his face. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm like, this is what like our our natural instincts
fitra.
Are. Fitra. Yeah, and then look what like when we feed
it. You're so right, Jana. Wallah. Yeah. Even it's not just in terms of sexual things, but violence. Like we don't get moved when we hear the hadith about the grave because we're like, well, I watched that on Netflix and I watched that. Like
absolutely.
We're so like, I felt that when I went to Hajj and came back and saw an ad and I was like just so shocked.
Yes. Yeah, even at the airport when you arrive back from Hajj or Umrah, you're like, what are
the
these
perfume
people?
Ads
yeah, yeah, you're like, because you've been in a different world. So what you expose yourself to, like, and I speak about the phone a lot. Like there's an addiction that women have with phone, and we're not here to judge anyone. This is our away for a lot of us. We're so disconnected. We feel lonely. We feel like, you know, if a mom has kids under five, they're at home, that is her getaway, just to go on social media and just connect with her. And that's fine. But as long as, what are we watching? What are we reading? What are we, you know, what's our gaze connected to? How much time are we spending on this device? Because, you know, again, sisters say, I don't have time for Quran. But if you check their, you know, hourly, you see 4 or 5 hours a day. And you know, that's something that we need to definitely be aware of. And I've got this new thing now where I actually turn off my phone from the minute I put it on airplane mode.
I know, you're very hard to get to
from 4 o'clock. It's my time for my children, because ultimately Allah, you know, from 4 o'clock, from the time they come home till they sleep, which is 8:39, that's their time. That's not my,
I think that's fantastic.
I put my phone on top of the fridge so that I just don't hear, and it's on silent. I put it on top of the fridge. I'm like, that's it.
Because your children need to see you present. I was actually reading this the other day, this journal about how they did this study at Harvard University about the impact of phones on children.
Yes.
And guess what they found? Their findings were actually really interesting. They were saying how the impact is actually not kids using the phones, but parents distracted using the phones on the children.
Distracted parenting. I think I read that.
And not many people like to hear that. And it's confronting. I used, you know, if somebody tells me, you know, again, I know it's hard, subhanAllah, but let's be real. Let's be honest. You know, our children, we owe it to our children that we're present when they're home. Even if you're sitting on the couch doing nothing, staring at the wall, you're there. you know,
yes.
helping them with homework, just resting, being available. Because when you're on your phone reading somebody else's story, you're with that person.
Exactly.
Yes. Or going through, why should I, why even be interested in what somebody else's husband is just, or what somebody else had for breakfast, or what,
Or checking your WhatsApp and your messages.
If you actually take it all aside and think what we actually consume on social media, I'm one of them.
Like, to be very
I'm like, why did I check that person's meal? Like, do I really care?
Yeah. Do I really care? Exactly.
But it's there.
It's really like,
it's there. And human nature, we're curious.
Curious.
So with that, you're, and it's, you know, so entertaining. True. So it's like lifestyle.
It's like a variety.
And, so that's why you actually may have to be conscious. And it takes, you know, a lot of work. It's not easy. Yeah. And it's, as I said, subhanAllah, it's become an addiction. So we have to be aware of it. So at least from the time that your children are at home, you know, sisters, please put the phones down, put them on
that
silent,
so
and be present, because just being there is just going to have a profound impact on the way you raise your children.
They do say that, for example, your kids start to act up. They're jumping on couches. They're being naughty. Like, what's wrong with my child?
They're crying out for attention. Yes.
They just want that bond with you. I want some kind, even if it's bad, even if you're yelling at me.
Oh, Dali,
mommy,
you
know,
we all go through where, you know, the minute you're on the phone speaking to someone, what
the
happens?
The kids just do the worst things. Yeah, I'll be like, I'm with the doctor. I promise. I'm like not doing anything.
And usually they're fine before. It's just the minute they see you with someone, like speaking to someone else.
I hold his hand. I was like, I'm here.
It's beautiful.
Just, they need to yell and sing.
So that's the biggest sign. That's evidence that they want us there. That's why, subhanAllah, they start acting weird and doing crazy things, and you know, so just be there. Even if you're doing nothing, you just play with them, spend some quality time. I know we're so busy all the time, but even 5 minutes of one-on-one time, you know, connecting with our children, they are our biggest assets.
Subhanallah.
It's not, nothing else will matter. Subhanallah. Yeah. Before anything, as women, we are the murabbiyat.
Yeah.
We are the ones who raise the next generation, and there's no more honor, honestly, on the face of earth like this. And unfortunately, we live in a society where it makes you, you know, if you're a stay-at-home mom, that sounds like
it's
something
degrading,
that you're degrading.
Absolutely,
you're doing the most honorable work on earth, you know, and you get the husband Islamically. Think about it this way, subhanAllah. The husband has to provide for you so you can do this important work.
Yes,
subhanAllah.
You know?
So
someone working for you, like a queen, you know, a queen doesn't go out and work. She just, you know, does her queeny thing.
Her queen.
You know, and everybody serves her. And that's
like
exactly
that.
What
Plus
it is.
Plus, the stay-at-home mom has a lot of duties.
Absolutely.
Like, it's not like she's a stay-at-home mother that doesn't
that's
do work.
That's a full-time work on the
side. And especially in light of what's going on in the ummah. Like, we, there's pain and suffering and wounds all around, like, you know, you name it, Muslim lands, Muslim populations. We're going through so much, so much. And it's not even optional anymore that we step up our game, you know, that we connect to Allah, that we give Allah Nasr so Allah can give us Nasr and victory.
Yeah.
And that starts from within. That starts from within our homes. That starts with what we raise our children to become and be like, so they can be the best, you know, pious leaders in the world that the world can ever have.
SubhanAllah. We're up to our segment now, trial versus triumph.
Weekly, we do a trial or a triumph segment where we actually discuss what happened with us during last week, basically a trial or a triumph. And I think Dahlia is going to start with her.
Should I start?
Trial or triumph?
Just air this dirty laundry out to the world. Okay, so I think I had, I don't know, you want to call it a trial or a triumph? Okay, so my one, super busy. House is chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Come back from school. Kids need to do their homework. My two-year-old jumping couches as usual. He doesn't respect any pillows on the couch. He doesn't care about that. And I saw garbage was left out. I was like, oh, he didn't take out the garbage again. And I thought, you know what? Instead of getting frustrated or, you know, just taking out because I'm so tired at this stage, so you're very reactive, I try to do that gratitude exercise where I thought, okay, what's something nice he's done today? What's something that...
Shift your focus.
Shift my focus. Yes. And then I minimize the problem and I go, okay, so we didn't take out the garbage, but alhamdulillah, he's working.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, he's out there. Or alhamdulillah, you know, he kissed my child in the morning and went to work. So that kind of calmed my nerves down. And I forgot about that.
Yeah, and you give him feedback. There's nothing wrong with him. Yeah. When he comes back, look, you know, I know you're very busy, but please don't forget to do it. Like,
yes,
I think you, let's be compassionate. Like, our power is in our femininity. And in our, you know, that is, don't be like a man. We want to be like men.
Yes.
Wallahi, in the way that we do things and we approach stuff. Yep. You know, there's this power in just you being, you know, just embracing your feminine side.
So,
well, I have a triumph. I'm not like as good as Dahlia. Well, over the weekend, actually, we had a dust storm in Sydney, like with the fires.
I washed my car, and the next day it was just waste.
My backyard, turned brown car.
My backyard was terrible, so it needed a clean. And I try, like, I'm telling my husband, like, let's go clean it, and he's like, nope. I don't want to clean it. I've been waking up early all week. Mm-hmm. I really don't feel like it. And I wasn't very happy about it. I turned the trial into triumph. I was like very, very disappointed.
You,
and
mashallah.
Then I'm like, you know what? I can do it myself. I'm still healthy. I'm fit.
Here you go.
I can do it myself. And I did it myself. And it was clean. And after, I felt so good.
Here you go. Alhamdulillah. Good on you. Mashallah. Well done. Alhamdulillah. So
do you have one?
I have to share one?
Go
okay. So again, so many. But I want to. I'm going to choose a triumph. So when November started, I was like, oh my God, it's the last month of the year. And yes. I had like 20 different events, subhanAllah, 20 different things to do. And I actually felt, I started panicking because I'm off December, January.
Okay.
I was like, oh my God, this is just going to be a crazy month. And then, and subhanAllah, again, I realigned my, you know, intention. And I said, why am I doing this? Why am I doing the things I do and everything, subhanAllah. And I decided, I actually had a plan of just taking it a day at a time.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, there was even stuff in between happening. Like, you know, my father-in-law Haram got really sick and he's in hospital. And so there's all these different things on the side. And you get tested the more you actually, you know, Allah wants to see. Are you sincere? Are you truthful about, you know, doing the right thing? And but alhamdulillah, you know, month of November is over. And alhamdulillah, I did all that was planned in the best way that I could. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Alhamdulillah.
And again, it's all from Allah. I'm not saying that this is, because you can't get, we can't even drink or write or walk or talk if Allah does not will it.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, relying on the source of power, I keep saying the source of power, you've got Allah by your side, you know, and he will help you through it. But you just have to be willing. We have to be. And again, I couldn't have done it without my adhkar, my strength, my shield, my, you know, they give you. I tell sisters all the time, think of yourself as a warrior, you know, and from the minute you wake up, it just does feel like it's a battlefield.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
It does. Like,
well,
jungle,
even with the little things.
Yes.
But imagine as a warrior going into battlefield without your mask, without your shield, without your, you know, weapons.
Absolutely. Yep.
Imagine if you but with the first hit, you'll be just knocked out.
Yes.
Mm. So our adhkar, that's what gives me strength. That's what gives me to, you know, that ability to keep going. It's not me. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah.
So I really recommend to all sisters just, you know, basically to seek that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because, and don't miss out. Because if you miss out, you miss out on a lot.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Islamic Relief Australia, who are always striving to help people in crisis and in their time of need. They also empower thousands of women and children around the globe and are climate champions who promote sustainable economic and social development in poverty-stricken areas. To join their noble cause, make sure you check out their website, www.islamic-relief.com.au.
Femininity doesn't mean a walkover. She doesn't have a voice. She doesn't have an opinion.
No,
that's
not.
And masculinity doesn't mean he's aggressive and angry, but tapping into your feminine qualities is so powerful in a marriage, and just generally having that compassion.
Life, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put, you know, clear gender roles for us. And sometimes, even like, I must admit, before I you know, learned Islam and the deen, I used to feel a bit of unease about those roles.
Yes.
And honestly, with
like
all
they
honesty,
were limiting for us.
Yeah, and you think, subhanAllah, and again, but you have to kind of pause and think, why am I having, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in the Quran about, you know, that there's a verse where do not have haraj in those, in Allah's rulings, do not have unease. And when I came across that, I was like, subhanAllah, this is a very, very powerful verse. Because if you're having unease about anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said you should be doing, it's either you're misunderstanding it, or it's either it's being just practiced and implemented in an unjust way. That's why it's, you're getting the unease. It's either this or the other. And wallahi, once you surrender to Allah and know, you know, Allah is the most just, Allah is perfect, Allah is the most wise, you know, coming from that space, learning and taking the gender roles from that space, everything will make sense and everything will fit perfectly, subhanAllah.
Yeah.
So we should not even be having those gender roles, and we complement one another for a better society.
Yes.
You know, there's things I can do that my husband can't do, and there's things I can do that he can't do. And we need both to be, you know, doing their roles and actually adopting their.
But it's like our greatness now comes in measure of what we can do like a man.
Yeah.
So if we can fight like a man, if we can get, like, it's not measured in our own strength. Like, we can reach Allah far quicker than a man can.
Absolutely.
Our ability of, you know, spirituality.
But that again, Dalia, subhanAllah, goes back to the, there's the feminist manifesto, where a lot of people are, because women are not getting their rights in different areas, we feel like that's the only option. We have to be like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, reclaim back your right. Know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for you. And it is enough. We've got everything we need within our deen. And it should make us the best, happiest women on earth, and the most powerful as well.
Yeah, no, but you're just mentioned femininity and all that, and how we should embrace our femininity. But don't you feel like, because I, when I hang out with a lot of women, they always have the same complaint or like actually remark, if you can like say, that our role here is different to the role of like the normal Arab, let's say, or traditional Muslim women. We are here the taxi driver, we have to take around the kids to the extracurriculars, we have to drop off, pick up, and grocery shopping. Yeah, some of them work. Yeah. How are you supposed to switch? Like a lot of women say, like, oh, at the end of the day, I can't turn from boss mama to becoming, you know, the this subordinate and like happy energy, and looking good. Yes. At the end of the day, what do you tell these women? Because I always hear that complaint.
Okay, so first of all, again, going back to understanding my priorities. My priorities, and again, this may not be a favorable opinion for a lot of sisters listening.
Yep.
And nafaqa and is actually a man's responsibility.
Yeah.
So I do understand that we live in a society sometimes where one income is not enough.
Yeah.
And a woman needs to work. But if you're in a position where you don't need to, I honestly don't know how women do it, like work, especially sisters who work full time.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard. It is.
I know. Yeah. I don't
it's
know
very, very hard. So sure, some women have no option. Some women are single moms. Some women are even they're married, but their income is not enough for, you know, so I understand that. But if you're in a, I call it a privileged position where you can actually take not even work and just focus on raising the children and organize your time, that will make it so much easier. That will make it so much easier for you, subhanAllah. If you really need to work, think of options if you can. Again, if you can. This is just different for everybody. Part-time, 2 days a week.
Yep.
That will make a massive difference because you're ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask me on how I, tarbiyah, how I am a murabbiya. This is, I'm not going to allow, you know, striving for money, take over that role.
Yeah.
You know, I have to put things into the right place. الرجال قوامون على النساء. Yes, men are, you know, they've got the added responsibility. Qawama is not superior. Qawama is not your, you know, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the sight of Allah, there's no one better than other except with taqwa, piety.
Yep. Yes.
And that's in the heart. So الرجال شقائق النساء, we're equal to men. So again, this verse can be taken out of context. But if you continue that verse, at the end of that verse, it says, بِمَا أَنفَقُوا. Their qawama, their responsibility is with what they spend.
Yes.
You know, as a Muslim woman, and again, if you tell that to anyone, like we, they talk about woman, Muslim woman being oppressed and whatnot, but that is extremely liberating. Like, who, you know, that's a place
they're giving
that,
her the power to actually
absolutely.
Not
you
need.
Have zero, you know, you have, you should not, you know, spend, you can just basically live and do your goals and dreams and do everything and someone spends for you to do that.
Yes, yes.
So again, that is something. So if that was, the, if a sister stressed, she has to basically reevaluate her life.
Her priorities?
Her priorities, her life. And they have to be in line with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from her, not what society wants from her, not where, you know, she was conditioned to believe or whatnot. And I think that will give her clarity, inshallah, because there's always a way forward.
Yeah.
You know, there's always, even if you're burnt out or stressed out, you know, instead of being burnt out 90% of the time, you can do some measures that will make it 70% of the time.
Yeah.
So even little changes will make a massive difference on the long run. And I think it's everybody's personal responsibility to do something about that. Like, don't expect others to fix your life for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you're the expert in your life. No one knows what you need except you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it might be just that, you know, I want to disconnect for half an hour in a day and I'm just, again, you know, refueled.
Yes.
So if, even self-care, what are you doing about that? Your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I would really reevaluate all these things and then inshallah make obviously dua. Yeah.
Absolutely. This is a bit more of a heavy topic, but domestic violence.
Mm.
Well, you know, it's an epidemic and you've spoken and helped so many women in the community. It's so much more complex than just saying, just walk away, sister.
Yeah.
If somebody is in a situation of domestic violence, be that verbal, physical, financial, what are the steps they need to take? What needs to be done?
First and foremost, subhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our sisters.
Amen.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, guide those men to be men like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and like they're supposed to be. And, well, I fear more for the men because, you know, there's akhirah. This akhirah.
Absolutely.
They're going to be, you know, held accountable for the most trusted person, you know, that you were trusted with. That's how you treat them. That's how you treat the amana. That's how you treat the blessing that you've. How many? There are armies of men who cannot even get married. And Allah blessed you with a wife. And this is how you treat her. But that's something that, you know, we have to hold the men accountable.
Yeah.
Again, we don't hold the victim accountable for what the men are doing. But we try to empower our sisters in the best way that we can.
Yes.
So if a woman is going, and again, it's a trial, she's experiencing domestic violence. The first step I would say, definitely, if you're unsafe, run. Honestly, you know, safety. Human life is above anything else. You know, so you need to basically find a safe haven, go to someone, speak to someone, just get out of there if your life is at risk. And unfortunately, so many sisters' lives are at risk. And sometimes, subhanAllah, we've got so many broken homes, and it breaks the heart.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart, not only just for the woman, for the children being raised in that environment and seeing and witnessing that. What sort of standards are they going to have in their lives? What sort of choices are they going to make when they grow up? So again, protect yourself, sister.
Yes.
Seek help. There's, alhamdulillah, compared to 10, 20 years ago, we've come a long way. There's services. Yeah. There are people you can speak with.
Yes.
There are professionals, psychologists, people that, intervention, institutions and whatnot. So I highly recommend that she does that, bi'idhnillah.
Yes.
And again, empower herself. Once you know your standards from an Islamic perspective, it will be hard to accept less than what you're meant, what you deserve. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored us as human beings and honored us as Muslims, subhanAllah. So it's not our fault that we are in the situation. But we do have a responsibility in the best way that we can to do something about it, if we can.
Yes.
Some women, they feel stuck. But no, sister, that you, there's always a choice. There's always a way. And when you're in the situation, you see it so dark that you think there's no way out. But there is a way out. And I'm not saying, leave. And subhanAllah, I've seen so many, in so many cases where, there was a break, separation period, where she comes back with different conditions and he changes. And I've seen that. So there is hope. It doesn't have to be, divorce.
Yes.
No, your divorce is an option, though. If you can't have a healthy relationship, this is the point of marriage is, as I said, mawadda and rahma. If there's no mawadda and rahma, there's no mercy and love in the relationship, again, divorce is an option. And we have to start not being apologetic about that, because Allah says that there is. Allah, we're not encouraging divorce, but we're not encouraging unhealthy relationships either.
Exactly.
Because that can lead to hellfire. If you're in a relationship where, not just in dunya, the loss in the akhirah, because in a relationship that, even the husband wouldn't even be happy with the wife anyway.
Yeah.
So you're constantly in that cycle, vicious cycle of domestic violence, abuse. And, like when I have an argument with my husband, wallahi, I struggle with my salah.
Me too.
It affects my deen.
I do too. Yeah. I do extra things. I feel like, oh my God,
khalas, everything in life just kind of becomes heavy. And imagine living like that for the rest of your life. Yes. So you need to find either a solution or coping mechanisms to deal with it, inshallah.
Yes, inshallah. I'm going to discuss now the matter of sisterhood. You always speak about the Muslim village and how important it is. What is the Muslim village that you speak about and why is it important?
The Muslim village is what Siti and Siddiq and our grandparents had. And, a beautiful village where the children were safe. The children were in an environment where they had support. They had, everybody was raising that child.
Yep.
It's unfortunate that we now have made it like parenting as it's just the parents' responsibility. Mm. Yeah. But this wasn't the case in the prophetic, subhanAllah, times. Everybody had a responsibility. The hairdresser had a responsibility. The person who taught your child had a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
The person who played with them. So even if they were visiting and playing, having a play date at someone else's house, it was, they were raising them as if they were their own child, subhanAllah. And again, we live in a society where we don't have those systems. We don't the reality is we're living in a broken world. Yeah. Most systems are broken. So healthcare system, education system, and that's a fact.
Yeah.
The basic needs for humans are not being met through those systems.
Yeah.
So the struggle is real. I'm not going to romanticize it and make it sound like, you can have this amazing environment, because the systems are not there. But inshallah, we have to work towards creating those spaces.
Yes.
But at this stage, that's not the reality. So what can I do to make it better for myself again? How can I start from my own home to make my life better and easier if those systems don't exist?
Yeah.
So for example, I look at my roles in the day, and they include, for example, as a mum, they include teaching my kids Quran and Arabic, for example, raising them in a specific way, cleaning the house, spending time with them. So if I can delegate any of these, I should.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And again, this may not be an option for everybody, but even time out, having some time out for you just to be at home on your own, or just to go out with your husband and just, you don't have to get a babysitter, just get a friend to look after your kids for 2 to 3 hours a week. And you say,
we
alternate.
Say that, but people we here, like, swap they it find around. It hard to do that, but I think it's way better to actually
once there's a will, there's a way.
A
absolutely. Yes. Like, I lived in Melbourne for 8 years. I had no family. So, and I had, my kids were really, really young, and I lived even in a rural area, but I think if there's a will, there's a way. You have to. If you really want something, you have to make it for yourself happen. You have to. No other option.
Yeah.
You have to take ownership and responsibility of making your life the best that it could be. So if I can delegate my housework once a week, why not? If I can, you know, that, that's going to give me a push. You know, people spend money and all sorts of things on, you know, food and restaurants and holidays and, you know, but it's an investment to have some help in the house, just to take care of, to give you a day off or two.
And that's so important. We have to let go of this mentality that mothers, we need to do everything. And God, no one's going to clean my house or cook.
SubhanAllah.
And like you were saying, you know, maybe 100 years ago or so, the Muslim home was far bigger, so you had the mother-in-law close, you had the sister-in-law, so we had more interaction. We, if we needed a babysitter, there was another babysitter. Now it's like we're in tiny homes within four walls.
We live in boxes
with five jumping kids, and wonder why we're losing our mind.
That's so true. We can't even, like, even safety, like, you can't have your children play outdoors anymore because there's and subhanAllah,
with stranger danger.
So our times are difficult, and we have to give ourselves that. So when a sister's going through, and I share that with a lot of sisters all the time as well, when you're going through, for example, anxiety or difficulties or just you know, struggles in managing your emotions and well-being and regulating, it's actually, it doesn't mean that you're weak. You're just in a very difficult society that breaks the most of strong of people. You know, why was it, you know, it wasn't the case when, through, you know, during my grandmother's time and my mother's time, we heard, we didn't hear many cases of anxiety and depression and whatnot, because it's they had less response. It's an epidemic now. It's one in two women going through anxiety, subhanAllah. And it's not because they're weak. It's because we live under really difficult and pressuring situations. And we have to give ourselves that. That's why, because we live in such environments, that should be a you know, something that makes us want to become stronger in every way that we can, so that we can protect ourselves from that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, in seeking knowledge and looking after our health, and because that's the only way we're going to keep going, otherwise we're going to break.
SubhanAllah. We're up to the segment From the Outside In.
Either Dahlia or I will bring something from the outside, either a book or a documentary, a movie that we've watched, and we share it with the audience and with the guests.
Full of surprises, mashallah.
So I brought in, I'm not sure if you're aware of her, you'd probably be, Chloe Madanis. She's America's number one leading therapist, family therapist, and she works closely with Tony Robbins. And so she wrote a book called Relationship Breakthrough. I love this book because she speaks about the six human needs of a person. So she talks about certainty, love, connections, significance, growth, contribution. And she says how we meet each other's needs through this. So she speaks about the three levels of love, which I really enjoy. She said the first level of love is baby love. So with a baby, he eats, sleeps, you know, drinks. And then when a baby doesn't get what it wants, what does it do? Chucks a tantrum.
Yeah, cries.
So some people operate on this level. It's just me, me, me. And then you have the second level where it's like a trade-off. So, and I feel like the majority of the Muslims were kind of on this level. Like, you know, I'll fulfill your rights if you fulfill my rights.
So I call it a transactional love.
Yes,
you give me this,
I'll
give you that.
I'll be polite if I get what I want. You know, we've all got those, you know, those are my rights of a Muslim as a woman, and he's got his rights. No one cares about looking at each other.
SubhanAllah, stop doing that.
And then the last one was unconditional love. So his needs are my needs, and I work actively to try to fulfill their needs. So even small things like the sunnah is simple, but so powerful. For example, just having a smile on your face when he comes home from work. Or I remember with my dad, we had to like greet him at the door.
Mashallah.
You know, we had to get up and get make sure the food's ready or whatever. But these days, kind of children just ignore dad, continue watching. And that little thing can just spark off so much, you know, frustration for the rest of the night. So
I'm going to go back to the sisterhood and the Muslim village.
Yes.
So you're saying like it's really important, but I'm finding it like in this day and age, there's like we said, the influencers and social media and envy, backbiting, and all that going deep in the roots of our community, and where people start not trusting each other. That's why I think the relationships aren't as strong. What do you advise sisters, since you're like active in the community, to actually get over these things that are becoming harder? Like, oh, she went to Bali. Oh, she went to this holiday. I want to go to this holiday. How do you tackle that?
This basically, again, goes back to purification of the heart. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, you know, in tremendous, you know, so many places in the Quran where, you know, the heart is the core. The heart, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna fil jismi la mudgha," in the body there's a piece of flesh that if it's saluhat, if it's good, you know, saluhat sa'ir al-jasad, the rest of the body will be good, and that is the heart. Our heart, we need to start with our hearts and work with our hearts and purify our hearts and know that everything out there, whether it's stuff I see on social media, whether it's things I've seen, you know, my sister-in-law Jew and have, it's all about, I should not feel jealous. I should not feel envy. I should not feel hasad. I should not feel insecure.
Yeah.
Because if I'm, you know, again, if these are my definitions of what makes me happy, then I've got a very bad, wrong definition that's not going to even ever fill me. Because if you're looking at someone else's car and you're thinking, I want that car, even if you get that car, within 2 months, there'll be a better version.
You don't like that car anymore. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Like the light bulbs change
a little
bit.
If that's how you fill your needs from external sources, you will never be filled. It will never be enough. Happiness is not found in those things. And people who, you know, they know that. Because you can always, you're constantly be chasing this dunya, and you're constantly going to, it's going to feel like you're chasing an illusion.
Yeah.
It's never going to ever satisfy you. It's never going to fill you, subhanAllah. Yeah. So you need to be secure within your own self and know that my fulfillment and my contentment and my joy comes from the keyword gratitude. Just being grateful for everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us.
Dalia's favorite word.
I love gratitude. And yeah, mine too.
Yes.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. So the increase actually comes not from the complaining, not from the comparing. It comes from thanking Allah.
Yeah.
So if you, the more, you know, gratitude you have, the more you will have. It just goes hand in hand, and vice versa. The more you feel, because if someone's saying, why not me? I want that too. That's lack. That's coming from a place of, you know, lack of abundance, subhanAllah.
Yeah.
And you're going to, the opposite will happen as well, which is you're not going to be given, you're not going to be fulfilled, you know, even if you basically own the entire world. So it's very, very important to put things into perspective.
Yeah.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran, you know, only few, you know, yani ibad al-shakur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are only a few who are grateful.
Yeah.
So may Allah make us from the few, because it's not easy.
Absolutely.
We live in a society where it's just, you know, we're all attached to materialistic stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're attached to things and stuff and items and, as you said, holidays and weddings. And but is that the criteria for happiness? Absolutely, it's not. SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. So true. Now we're up to the take-home task. So, Dali, we like to get our guests to give us a take-home task that we implement for the week.
Mm.
So a little homework task that you'd like us to implement, inshallah.
Go so for it. Nice to us.
Okay, so that we've been discussing, you know, what mums are going through and the hardships, I really want sisters to maybe this week to take at least 1 hour away just for herself to reevaluate her life. And it's a really good time to do that because the kids are off school soon and, you know, there's a new chapter next term, new year coming and whatnot.
Yeah.
So just take an hour away. Take an hour away for yourself, even if you can, you know, go under a tree in the backyard, or if you can go to a place where there's trees. And alhamdulillah, there's beautiful now jacaranda trees. I love, the beautiful
Australia.
Yes.
Not if someone is hearing us from the UK or Europe. They're not
going to see trees. There are trees everywhere, alhamdulillah. I love trees. They just give me so much alhamdulillah peace when I'm like, so whatever it is for you, because it's different for everybody. Whatever makes you happy. Could be just at the couch of your house, and just get a piece of paper, blank piece of paper with a pen. And just think about your life from a, you know, like a autopilot, like a, you know, bird's eye view, perspective.
Because
sometimes we're so in our lives that we can't see. You can't see your own blind spot.
Yeah.
You're so busy in the doing and busy, and it's just so chaotic that you lose sight of what this whole entire dunya is about.
Yeah.
In an instant, we can leave this realm and be in the hereafter realm. Instantly. You just find yourself, oh, what am I now? It's the akhirah. I mean, you know, wallahi. My body is not, I'm just a soul now. And, you know, nobody gets a warning sign or a date or a deadline. We don't.
Absolutely.
And that's a reality. So just for us to have that 1 hour, just 1 hour, and reevaluate. What am I at? What am I going? What has been working? What hasn't been working for me? Kind of create a map for your life.
Yeah.
You know, what do I need to adopt? What do I need to stop doing? And again, it might feel overwhelming because for a lot of sisters, there's so much I need to do, but at least have it there. And even if you do, it's a step at a time.
Yeah.
You know, for somebody to get from A to B, that's not a one big jump.
Yeah.
That's not just like a leap, you know.
Yeah.
It's usually a step at a time. And each step, you have to embrace that step and be okay and comfortable and embrace that step before you go into the next step. So in 2 months' time, if you're doing that, you're going to be, you would have achieved so much. And in 6 months, it's going to be different. And in 9 months and in a year, and subhanAllah. So as long as you're basically holding yourself accountable. Just do that. And with that exercise, if you can do your top values, know your values. There's something called top 50 core values. You can just Google it, and basically they give you top 50 values of people, and you know, find out the three top values for you, you know. And again, if you're not living according to your values, you are likely to be not happy. You know, sometimes we're living according to everybody else's values or society's values, and we think, why am I not happy? If one of my top values are contribution, and I feel like I'm not doing anything, you know, productive, I'm not going to feel well about myself. So I need to contribute, even if in a little way, subhanAllah, in my day to day. Even if it's 10 minutes, even if it's sharing a hadith on my Facebook page, even if it's, you know,
visiting the hospital, that's it, for
anything,
a week,
once in a while, that will make you feel so good about yourself, and you need to regain that confidence again and operate from a place of wellness and strength.
Yeah,
because it's just totally entirely different to be from that state. Subhanallah, you'll be a better believer, better worshipper, better mom, better human being, better wife, and, and that will take, inshallah, everything to the next level. Inshallah.
And when you're in a good place, the energy radiates your whole family.
Subhanallah. So true.
So challenge accepted. We're gonna do this.
Yes, that's 1 hour.
We'll hold each other accountable. Yeah, that's 1 hour. 1 hour for
all the clocks into a paper. I need probably a cardboard this one.
So this brings us to the end of this episode. We'd like to thank the inspirational Dahlia Ayoub for joining us today. And really, I've learned so much.
I've learned so much from you ladies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all beacons of light in this ummah, because there's a lot of darkness, and it's our duty and responsibility to do so. So jazakumullah khairan for the opportunity. It was my
Jazakallah khairan. Ladies, don't forget to follow The Muslim Lady on Facebook, Instagram, and subscribe to our podcast.
Salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa tuqa
wal-afafa wal-ghina. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Islamic Relief Australia, for making this podcast possible. Islamic Relief Australia are always striving to help vulnerable communities and those less fortunate around the globe. Let's join their journey of making the world a better place. Visit islamic-relief.com.au.
If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Mums on the Run through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify for notifications on upcoming episodes.